736. It's 9:30 with AM 580 News. I'm Tom Rogers. A twisted helicopter blade remains about 20 yards away from a busy road in Aurora, where an overnight helicopter crash killed a one-year-old girl and three adults. The medical helicopter went down just before midnight in a field along the road and burst into flames, killing the child, the pilot, a nurse, and a paramedic. Aurora Police Sergeant Rob Waller says the girl was being transported to a hospital in Chicago, and he says it may have hit a guy wire on a nearby radio tower before the crash. Security guard Charles Bolton says he was starting his shift at a nearby truck repair center when he heard the low-flying helicopter. Bolton says he heard the engine kind of sputter just before the helicopter went down. Officials with the National Transportation Safety Board are investigating. State Treasurer Alexi Giannoulias tells the Associated Press he plans to make a billion-dollar deposit in Illinois' banks to ease credit and bolster confidence. Giannoulias says his plan to offer banks one-year deposits of up to $25 million will allow them to keep lending during the Wall Street meltdown. The court dispute continues over efforts to create new ballot language for a referendum calling for an Illinois constitutional convention. A state appellate panel heard arguments yesterday that pitted the need to repair a misleading ballot against election officials' arguments that there's no time to get a new ballot ready in time for Election Day. Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn says the panel ruled that the Illinois Supreme Court must decide the case, but an Associated Press report says an appellate ruling is still pending. Quinn and others had originally appealed to the state Supreme Court, which sent the issue back to the appellate level. Supporters of a constitutional convention say a circuit judge's order to print up notices telling voters to disregard the misleading ballot language don't go far enough. Quinn says entirely new ballots with the correct language are needed, and it's not too late to make the change.
Probably more people are going to vote in this election in Illinois than any other time in our state history. It's a presidential year. It's a big election there. But to vote on a constitutional convention, that's a big responsibility, and it should not be tainted by monkey business on the part of insiders who are trying to scuttle the referendum in an unfair way.
Quinn spoke at the U of I yesterday where he took part in a debate on the constitutional convention question. The original ballot language quoted an obsolete state statute which said not voting on the referendum was equivalent to a no vote. Referendum supporters say that's not true. They say the language pointing out the lopsided defeat of the last constitutional referendum in 1988 is biased and tantamount to electioneering in the voting booth. Despite repeated court orders, the Blagojevich administration appears unwilling to put the brakes on a state health care expansion. Sean Crawford has more.
Cook County Judge James Epstein has issued another order banning the state from paying bills associated with the governor's expansion of the family care program. Ron Blagojevich ignored lawmakers and raised the income eligibility last year, meaning a family of four earning more than $80,000 could still qualify. The administration says it's kept no records, so knowing how many people are enrolled and contacting the participants to refund their premiums is impossible. Businessman and former candidate for Governor Ron Gidwitz was among those who filed suit to stop the expansion.
And so what the governor's doing is totally unequivocally illegal.
That might not stop the administration, however. The Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services issued a statement that says the governor is committed to making sure those enrolled in family care continue to get the insurance they need. But the judge's order could leave pharmacists and others on the hook, as the state now lacks authority to reimburse health care providers for dealing with the patients in question. I'm Sean Crawford.
A Bush administration official says many people, including watchdog groups and the media, are taking a flight from responsibility when they speculate on the future of Social Security. Charles Blahaus made those comments, saying he's warning of dire projections for the program in 20 years, eating up about 16% of taxable wages. Blahaus is deputy assistant to the president for economic policy and deputy director of the White House's Economic Council. He spoke on the U of I's Urbana campus yesterday and suggests Social Security is taking a backseat to other high-profile issues.
Whether we're talking about the cost of our exertions in Iraq, to the practical distance between the political parties with respect to income tax policy, the fiscal consequences of population aging, by contrast, are as great as any fiscal challenge our government has faced down in the past. And if they're not addressed, they will threaten our children and grandchildren with a lower standard of living than we have been privileged to enjoy in our lives. And to deny this reality, in my view, is a dereliction of public duty.
Blahaus says the issues of federal spending and revenue are bound to produce a diversity of views. But he says analysts must clarify the choices before us and keep elected officials from avoiding difficult issues. He says bipartisan legislation to address fiscal issues must be preceded by an unflinching portrayal of the realities that the country faces. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 12:30. I'm Tom Rogers.
Programming on WILL is funded in part by a grant from Hendrick House at Green and Lincoln on campus. Hendrick House Catering offers corporate box lunches and caters weddings, parties, and other special events. More information is available at 365-8000.
It's 9:35. We dial up the Weather Center now, and AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
And this is the kind of weather that I like, to tell you the truth. A little bit cool, just very fall-like, and aside from a little chance of rain tomorrow, looking pretty nice.
Yeah, and the chance tomorrow is very little. It'll be a mainly dry day, just a few spotty showers that will likely pop up during the heat of the afternoon tomorrow, if you can call it the heat of the afternoon with temperatures in the 60s. But yeah. Nothing big.
And next week looks like we're going back above normal for a little while at least?
A little bit. I think as you look at the next week as a whole, temperatures will mostly get up into the 60s for highs. I do have a 72 on Sunday.
Right.
Some models are...